34, no tax.
Welcome to this version of America Tonight. Boy, it's a wacky, wacky world, isn't it? When you can't get into the black, but yet you continue to captivate America with your incompetence. Everybody knows what I'm talking about. Of course, what's happening in Washington. I could go on a big old rant, jump on my soapbox, but I think I've done that enough. It's like the shortened version of Kate Gone Wild. And all of you I know that have called this show feel the same way. I don't care what point of view you have and where you're looking at this. You could be left of left, right of right, somewhere in between. But in general, most are tired of hearing about this. You're tired of it. Because guess what? You all have budgets, and you know what happens when you can't meet your budget. You know what happens when you have to figure out a way to keep yourself in the black because you had another child or you moved or your job situation has changed or the life things happen. You hit some speed bumps and then you went up again and then you went down again and then you know. So you do it. Because what, do you default on everything? Of course not. So once again, we're in this last-ditch movement. It's like we're, you know what it is, in Washington, I swear they're deadline junkies. August 2nd is the date that the world will blow up as we know it here in these United States. And if we don't do something, we are screwed. You know, that's pretty much what you hear from the Secretary of the Treasury, Tim Geithner, from the Federal Reserve Chairman now, Ben Bernanke. In fact, Bernanke, with a very dour-looking face, was on the Hill to talk about, what happens if we don't cut this? What happens if we keep on driving in this same lane? So again, here's Bernanke talking about driving on that same old piece of highway.
This imbalance is very worrisome. I think we certainly cannot continue on an unsustainable path.
Okay. What does that tell us? We can't go on an unsustainable path. We know that. It's the people who represent us that don't seem to realize you can't keep spending like you've gotten your first credit card, a teenager, and you have no limit. And you're just going to the Gap and buying more jeans. I need more jeans. Yeah, we've had too many pairs of jeans. So ultimately what happens here, and it does become a personal question, what do you want to see happen? The middle class will get squeezed. We already know that. And either way, we're losers in this because the Democrats want to raise taxes. They want to tax more fees on. They want to bring in more revenue to solve the problem. And it's not going to just be the so-called rich. That's not going to happen. It will definitely more than trickle down and hit people that find themselves in the very rapidly disappearing middle. Either way, and if they lift the debt ceiling, then of course it's about spending and then you're even more in the red and that just exacerbates the problem. There is no win in this. I don't see the win. And maybe that's part of the problem. When they're having these meetings at the White House and the frustration level is, you know, ready to blow the roof off the top of 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, probably the reason for that is because they know they can't solve this and make their constituents happy. So if you're trying to get reelected and you think this is going to come back and bite you, they're trying to maneuver it so it fits their own personal situation is what I think. And I didn't believe because I thought, well, they're not going to default on it no matter what at the end. They'll be a last-minute ditch to solve it, but I'm not so sure. I think there's a good chance. And you may be one of the people that is a veteran, and thank you for your service, or you might be somebody relying on the Social Security checks and come to find out that when you go to get the mail in the beginning of September, you're not going to get that check. Every day, you're going to say hi to the mailman. Get any mail? Nothing but catalogs and bills. And the check that you need, I don't care how much it's for, will not be there. Well, these next two gentlemen I'm going to introduce you to don't need the money. Yeah, they don't need the money. But like other players in the NFL, they've dug in hoping that it'll pay off in the end, that there'll be a deal and training camps will open up because there is a deadline there, and it's the end of July. That's when most camps would open. I know that the Dallas Cowboys are sending their equipment down to San Antonio. That's where they practice, or that's where they have their training camp. So if they're sending it to the Alamo Dome, they feel like there's a good chance that they will open camp, and that's supposed to happen in the next 2 weeks. Aaron Rodgers, who now has a Super Bowl under his belt, and Drew Brees, who won a Super Bowl, both of them want to see a labor deal happen, and they feel like they're closer to a new deal, rather. Take a listen.
We're very close to a settlement, just in regards to, I think, a lot of the points that have been the big issues are nearing a close. I think it's just at that point in the negotiations where there's just a few more details that need to be ironed out.
There's definitely a lot of things that have improved as far as the talks, and I'm hopeful that we're going to get something done here pretty quick.
Yep, if they want to get to camp and if they want to start the season on time, that has to happen pretty quick because they've already lost a lot of time, especially for rookies, where they don't have the playbook and they might be in shape or they might be going to gyms or they might be going to informal practices, but it's not really the same thing. And I think Brees and all the big quarterbacks, like so many others, are sick of this thing dragging out. They're sick of it because they don't want to be on the couch, I believe. I don't think they want to be on the couch when the season starts, even though they have money backing them up. They've got money in the bank. They don't want to skip the NFL season or even a part of it because how hard would it be to try to pick it up in the middle of the season? So right now, players are calling for something fair to happen for both sides, and they're saying it's time to wrap up the negotiations pretty much. You could hear both of them on a deal to end this whole lockout thing. So there was an 11-hour meeting in Manhattan. See, get the difference here? 11 hours of a meeting over the NFL in New York, while in Washington they were meeting for a whopping 2 hours to try to figure out what they were going to do with the debt ceiling. Football politics. Who are better negotiators? We'll see how it ends in the NFL. If they wrap it up, I might actually go with the NFL. Stay with us. Coming up next here on America Tonight, a conversation with Harry Rinker, the guru of all things in the land that are collectible. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Gold. If you listen to the radio, watch TV, or surf the net, you're hearing about gold. Eventually you will ask yourself, is gold right for me? The answer might surprise you. We protect ourselves and our families from many things. Do you have medical insurance? Is your home insured? Do you carry life insurance? How about financial insurance? If you own gold, then the answer is yes. If you don't own gold, the question is, why don't you have financial insurance? We put our faith in things we trust. Do you trust the dollar? Do you trust the economy? Do you trust the government? Gold has always been something you can trust. For thousands of years, people have put their faith in gold. Where will you put your faith? Now's the time to protect yourself and your family. Call Midas Resources today at 1-800-686-2237, extension 242. 1-800-686-2237, extension 242. And ask for Jim Parker. Let me help you get started today. 1-800-686-2237, extension 242.
Question: can functional magnetic resonance imaging be used to read our minds? Author Jose Collazo answers yes in his two new books, America's New Slavery. For more than 13 years, author Jose Collazo has been trying to prove that the U.S. government has the capacity to read a person's thoughts with a revolutionary technology known as fMRI, functional magnetic resonance imaging, and there is proof that it exists. America's New Slavery explores this technology and its many possible applications in national security. Who has access to it? How is it being used? Does America's salvation rest in this technology? These and many other questions are answered in America's New Slavery, the new books by Jose Collazo, available on BN.com, Amazon.com, and Borders.com. America's New Slavery. All Americans should be concerned.
Month here on America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. We get to hang with the guru of collectibles, Harry Rinker, and it's your chance to jump in this segment and ask Harry a question about the stuff that you have, your treasures, or things you think are treasures anyway. Here's my digits, 800-259-5791. Harry, how have you been?
Not bad. And, Kate, I have a piece of information for you. You wouldn't have given back the baseball.
Oh, yeah. You're talking about the Jeter? The Jeter,
yes.
Shot,
have
the home run?
Have you been following that?
Yes.
That's been a hoot. Well, first of all, the first set of stories I read was that he owes the federal government $15,000 for the taxes on all the gifts he got from the Yankees.
How brutal is that? Oh, we're giving him tickets for the rest of the season. And I remember when that first happened, I thought, oh, isn't that great? They're giving him the tickets. I didn't even think about the taxes or what they would nail him with.
Nutty. Well, here's the name of the game. The feds come after him. There has to be a taxpayers' revolt.
Right, no kidding. I agree. Absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean,
crazy.
First of all, astonishing story.
Yeah, and for people who don't know, I mean, Derek Jeter, certainly a legendary Yankee, a fistful of World Series rings, and now 3,000 hits. It was the ball that he hit, the home run ball, that was number 3,000. And, gee, the guy who caught it seemed like such a, aw, shucks, kind of, I'm excited, my girlfriend took me to the game kind of guy. And now, as Harry said, the government wants their take on all the gifts he got for giving up the ball.
Well, there's been some really interesting. Miller Lite, not that we're doing commercials for beer here, has agreed to pay any taxes he would encounter. I saw that in the news. Interesting fellow. In one of those rare moments in sports, somebody did something right.
Yeah, no kidding.
I agree. Classic moment in sports. The more you read about it, the more fascinating. But I mean, the question is, I mean, that ball does have, or did have, or will have enormous amounts of value. I know you remember Mark McGwire, and I'll forget the scandal associated with him.
Sure.
But the three balls that led up to his home run record before Barry Bonds, of course, thank God for steroids. They sold for $1 million bucks piece. So, I mean, everybody's been speculating about what would the ball have sold for, and the general consensus is at least a half a million, if not more. And I think
probably
right.
Yeah,
it's odd what makes something worth it. Of course, that's also the whole problem of sports. It's all the value of the moment. The question is sustainability. Now, the latest news is, if you haven't heard the latest, first of all, he's getting his own baseball card.
Right.
So I guess everybody who knows him should want to get a signed baseball card. Topps is giving his own baseball card. But apparently some sports franchise or somebody has gotten him to – he and Jeter's signed balls will soon be offered for sale.
I love it. Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah, it is too much. I mean, the thing about so much of this contemporary stuff is that nobody ever asked the questions in 100 years, will anyone care? Now, obviously, they're going to care about Derek Jeter because he obviously is going to get in the Hall of Fame.
Sure.
And all the rest of that type of stuff. But will anyone care about him? But on the other hand, what was the record? What was the price recently for a Joe DiMaggio and Marilyn Monroe jointly signed ball? I mean, that was close to $500,000 or at least $100,000 or more.
Yeah.
Oh, but then again, if it was signed by Marilyn, who cares if it had been signed by Joe, you know?
That's right, because you'd have that signature, sure.
Well, you know, this is one of the things that all of us in the antiques and collectibles trade wrestle with is the longevity, collecting longevity of people. How long is somebody collectible? Well, Debbie Reynolds, as you know, is selling off her huge
collection.
And the dress that she wore, Marilyn wore in the 7-year itch brought over $1 million, I think.
Yeah. No, yeah, she got more. Everything was all the loot that she not the loot, all the stuff that she had up, got more than that they expected they were going to get. It was huge for her.
Yes, in all fairness to Debbie Reynolds, good for her.
Yeah, I agree.
It's nice that something went right in her life for a change.
Yeah, but that's the thing you talk about this in collectibles. It's what somebody you've said this before. It's what somebody's willing to pay.
Yeah, it's all that expectation of the moment. What is somebody willing to pay? But the thing about it is it leads always in this big discussion is, are there iconic things that will transcend or be so important in history, like Marilyn's dress from a 7-year itch, like a Babe Ruth signed ball or something that will there? And the answer to some degree is yeah, I think there are. On the other hand, a lot of people tend to take bets on things that may not be as highly rated as they would seem on the surface. But anyway, let's we do this twice a month here on America Tonight, and I am here to hopefully encourage some of your listeners to call in and ask about the antiques, collectibles, and stuff they have around the house. A toll-free number, of course, 1-800-259-5791. Be delighted to talk with you about your things. The other big news is, you know, I was back in the late 90s, early part of the first decade of the 20th century. Antique shows were huge on Home and Garden TV and everything. And now I see they just announced two more shows, including an antique game show called What's It Worth or something like that. but there again, it's a craze-oriented business.
Right.
Apparently the success of Pawn Shop,
Something, yeah, I've seen it. I've seen that show,
Pawn Stars, but I know that's not right. No, Pawn Stars or something. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, have you ever been in a pawn shop?
I have never been in a pawn shop, no.
Well, I have to tell you what, that is an experience. First of all, you know, those of us that have been involved in television know that it's all entertainment. No, but it is entertainment. But right now, these guys that are in the pawn shop business it's like making a killing out there right now
because people
have to sell.
Yeah.
And it's really kind of a sad take advantage of people. That's not what I'm saying, but pawn shop guys are not nice people at all. You know, because you know they're a kick them when they're down kind of crowd.
Oh, absolutely. And then try to get your stuff back, and then it's some long lost
item from your grandmother. The other thing too. I mean, they take it in there. It's been pawned, but they can sell it out from under you if you can't redeem it. And one of the things that's happened is that in the antiques and collectible business, a lot of stolen merchandise is pawned. And so states pass laws that say, okay, everything, anybody selling reusable goods has to make a list, has to hold them for 30 days before they can resell them. And that's great because then they regulate the pawn shops, and then people don't understand. That applies. Then all of a sudden they start applying it to the antique business. So,
yeah.
You know, somebody set up an antique show in that community that has one of those laws, and the cops come in and say, okay, where's your record book of who you bought this from and how much did you pay for it and how long have you been holding it before you're selling it? And a lot of people refuse to do antique shows in states where they have laws like this because of that.
Yeah, boy. Crazy. Hey, it is Pawn Stars, too, by the way.
A porn star, yes, it is.
Pawn. You want to say porn, but it's pawn, yeah. There is the playoff of Porn Stars, and they really, that show has exploded, you're right, and that's part of it is because of what's happening now.
It's led to all these things like storage wars and so forth. And, you know, when you look at these shows and you see, what if they find some jet engine or something in storage, you have to ask yourself one simple question. How realistic is that?
Not very.
Is it possible they just could have been put in there just for the sake of the television show?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, I wish that would happen to me. Oh, I happened to bump into this Picasso that was painted over. Harry, what do I do? You know?
Well, now I have to tell you, I do antique appraisal clinics all across the country where people bring me stuff just like they do on the road show. And, you know, stuff does occasionally walk in, but the key word is occasionally. Maybe one out of every 3,000 or 4,000 objects I see. Not three times a week or four times a week on a regular enough basis to make a show out of it.
Yeah, no kidding. Hey, we're almost out of time, so we want to tell everyone you will be back in 2 weeks. Date to call Harry at 800-259-5791. Also, they can send you a note to the mailbag, right?
Right. We have a mailbag for America Tonight. My email address is harrylrinker@aol.com, just like it sounds, HARRYLRINKER, @aol.com. However, it's important, Kate, that they start their email, I listen to America Tonight, so we can get it in the America Tonight mailbag.
Yep, absolutely. Harry, you have a great week.
Hey, you too, kiddo.
Yeah, thanks. It was nice chatting with Harry always. And it's interesting he brings up the story about the Jeter ball, how horrible for the guy that was getting slammed with the taxes. But don't you love it that everybody comes to his aid? Coming up on the flip side, what do you have to say? The mailbag blew up, so you sent me a ton of emails, and we're going to check them out next here on the show.
We don't need to convince you that the threat of forced entry is on the rise and that your door locks are inadequate. Now you can virtually eliminate the threat of your door being kicked in with the Door Sentinel. The Door Sentinel offers standalone door kick-in protection for under $67 and installs in minutes on any door. Turn your home or apartment into a fortress. Get the Door Sentinel at SentinelSecurityGroup.com or call 678-648-6757. The Door Sentinel, always on guard for you.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
What would you do with a check for $25,000? What if you could eliminate all of your credit card debt in 90 days and keep all of your money? Hi, I'm Jason Davenport, and I've just completed ZeroDebt100.com, a program that stops and prevents debt collections of all kinds, including debt collectors and foreclosures, with guaranteed results. Forget loan modification. Zero Debt showed me how to get the banks to pay my property taxes and insurance while stopping my foreclosure without paying one dime. An attorney tried to garnish my my wages, but the court denied his request because of what I filed from the Zero Debt program. Find out how I did this by calling Zero Debt today at 800-477-9256. Tell them Jason sent you and ask for the Zero Debt special and the free bonus promotion about stopping an IRS levy and getting your money back. Tell them Jason sent you and call 800-477-9256. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256. Or visit www.zerodebt100.com.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, CrossbreedHolsters.com.
235 years ago, our forefathers signed the Declaration of Independence to escape tyranny and oppression. Today, there is a need to reinforce that declaration. What can we do to protect our health as a nation and in our homes from those who wish to control the quality of our air and water? To find out, you need to visit airandaqua.com right now or call 612-767-2777. You will receive a free copy of our Constitution, a newsletter, and bonus items. Air and Aqua.com. Purify your life today.
Spring and summer bring out the best of nature, but blooming flowers, grass, and weeds emit pollen everywhere. Spring cleaning, molds, funguses, and pollens can cause severe allergic reactions. It's time to fight back. Get a blast of nature's most powerful natural remedy with Oreganol P73, the most powerful oil of oregano available anywhere. Oreganol P73 is an extract of hand-picked wild oregano grown in mineral-rich soils found only in the mountains of the Mediterranean. Experience this powerful and effective spice you can't find anywhere else. It is so effective, even the ancient Greeks used oregano for their health. And it's not just a mere spice. Oreganol P73 is also available as gel caps and as a sea salt based nasal spray. Use Oreganol P73 and stay healthy all summer long. Order today by calling 877-817-9829. 877-817-9829. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Don't worry. Coming up at the tail end of this hour, we'll get to the obligatory day 200 and something, talking about the debt and all the sounds that are emanating from Washington, but including Ben Bernanke, who says we are prepared to respond if the economy worsens. But before we get there, you know, it's interesting, and I thought it was worthy of bringing it up here in this hour of America Tonight, is this idea of, you know, I've got a new segment going on called Give Me Justice, and you tell me if there's true justice. When you have a Minnesota Wi-Fi hacker who gets 18 years in prison, right? And look, I think the guy is a troll for what he did to his neighbors. But he gets 18 years in prison. What he did was he hijacked their networks. He harassed them. He embarrassed the next-door neighbors, you know, every way he could. He was a nut. His name is Barry Ardolf. And he was a very obsessive, passive-aggressive, creepy neighbor, right? And it started in 2008, and a couple of his neighbors filed a police report against him because they had a 4-year-old son who went over to their next-door neighbor's house after they moved into this suburb of Minnesota, a place called Blaine. So Ardolf has his own family. He's a father of two, and, you know, apparently, then this is the twisted part, but apparently he picked up the kid, they say, carried him back to the house and then kissed him on the lips. So when the cops called and, you know, vowed that they were going to come after him, he said that he was going to get revenge on anybody who said that he had anything to do with kids. So what he did was he went nuts after the neighbors called the cops. And he was a computer tech, so he was very savvy on the tech side. He downloaded, now picture this, because you all have neighbors. He downloaded a Wi-Fi hacking program to tear into the web encryption of his neighbors. Oh, this creeps me out when I think about this part of it, right? He creates a fake MySpace page, a bunch of fake emails, and for these people that reported him to the police. And then he posted child porn on the MySpace page, emailed the same child porn to coworkers at the guy's law office. So, you know, it went on from there. And then, you know, did a couple of other crazy things to politicians, figured he was going to get away with it. And eventually, the law office had someone poking around the Wi-Fi network. They had something that they had something to sniff him out. They did, gave the info to the FBI, and then the rest is history. So he gets 18 years, right? But then you have Casey Anthony, who is acquitted of the heinous charges of murdering her daughter. The jury finds her not guilty of that, and she's going to walk out this weekend. She's going to walk out of prison. There's all kinds of crazy rumors that she's going to have plastic surgery done. They're trying to figure out where ultimately they're going to stash her because she can't live in the same community. They're not... When I say they, it's mostly the legal team around her, I guess. So nobody's really giving any specifics. Of course not. They're trying to, you know, hide her, basically. That's what's going to happen there. So all the stuff that led up to this girl, 2 years old, gets tossed down onto the highway, out into the woods, next to the highway in Florida, and nobody answers for this crime. This guy's a nut, a kook, and a weirdo, and should have gotten something. But he gets 18 years in a federal prison for the craziness of what he did, like a twisted Lifetime movie plot. And she walks out the door. Now, I don't get it. It makes no sense to me. And I could go on looking at some other things in courts lately where you have the stuff with Roger Clemens. This is a big story. Does everybody know who Roger Clemens is? If you don't, I'm going to tell you who he is. Surefire Hall of Fame pitcher who was guilty of being ridiculously prideful because there's no reason he should be in this position. He goes in front of Congress and is so adamant that he had nothing to do with steroids. You know, basically, he's on trial for lying to Congress. So now they're saying that they've got needles. The prosecution are saying that they have needles and cotton balls that Clemens' former trainer says he used to inject Clemens, and he tested positive Clemens' DNA for the steroids. It's the evidence they say they needed, but the defense says it was faked. So you've got this whole thing going on, this whole trial going on. And Clemens, in a nutshell, the charges are lying to Congress about using performance-enhancing drugs. His attorney is saying he's not going to dispute that the needles contain his DNA and steroids, but he's accusing the trainer, a guy who got a lot of notoriety, Brian McNamee, of mixing it all up. He says that he manufactured it. So you have three different kinds of cases. But look ultimately at what the judgments could be. Clemens says the only things that he ever injected him with were lidocaine for joints and B12 that any of us could get anywhere, B12 shots. And ultimately, what do you think this jury is going to come back with? Do you think they're going to nail Roger Clemens for this, saying that he lied to Congress? Or do you think Clemens gets out of this? I think it was just, like I said, pride, arrogance, that whole thing. That really it was just about the Hall of Fame. It was just, you know, there was obviously the danger of him testifying in the first place. So why did he even do it? Because he just continues to maintain, he just can't do it, that he didn't use drugs during his career. I mean, this guy had a 24-year career in baseball, set all kinds of pitching records, and you have other guys who took stuff, who admitted it, and still got big contracts. Andy Pettit, one of his best friends, or used to be one of his best friends, from Houston, who played for the Yankees as well as part of their rotation, got a huge contract. said that he was sorry. Clemens could have easily done the same thing, thrown himself on the mercy of the court of public opinion, and trust me, this guy would have won in that case. So now instead, what money's being spent here and how this is getting dragged out ultimately, and then you look at the Anthony trial, and then you compare this other nut in Minnesota, and you look at the possible sentences. And what if Clemens, who, if they find him guilty, you know, they could give him a couple of years. And there's a good fair or foul for you. So should he sit in prison for even a year or two for lying to Congress if they say that they have enough evidence? And this is going to be one to follow. Trust me, and we will be following. We're going to have some people on to talk about it, to talk about that whole DNA thing. I mean, forget that Clemens is famous and all of that, but following the lying to Congress deal as well, and how often does somebody get tried for that? How often do people lie to Congress? I mean, there's a good one for you. All right, I said that we would talk about the debt deal and the fact that right now there isn't a debt deal. The big bombshells that were dropped out of Washington just a day or so ago had to deal with Social Security and also military folks and whether or not they would get paid. The president himself saying, oh, well, I can't guarantee that those Social Security checks are going to be there in the beginning of August. And the military was thrown in as well that, hey, those checks might not be there. How can we say they'll be there? And then you have word late on Wednesday coming out of the White House. Well, you know, you keep asking us how bad is it, what will happen. It's like I keep saying that they're predicting this Armageddon, that it's, you know, like the it's like an Indiana Jones movie where if he opens the crypt, it's the world will be sucked into it, and then ultimately all of us will go down the drain. And I mean, just on how bad is it on a scale of 1 to 10? Is it really more fear-mongering, or is there some truth to what will happen if the debt ceiling isn't raised? How much will it cost you and me? I mean, we can definitely dig our heels in on this one and say we're sick of all this nonsense, forget it, and we're not moving on this debt ceiling thing. But then, if nothing happens, what are you looking at paying? What happens if they don't increase the limit on the debt from 14 trillion plus to 16.7 trillion because the Treasury Department is insistent that they need that money to keep borrowing through the 2012 elections? Maybe that's part of the key. Because here's the thing, if it is a mini even Armageddon, it doesn't happen. Who do you think is going to get the blame for that? What do you think is going to happen in the 2012 elections? Disastrous for the current president. If the debt ceiling isn't raised and really honestly checks aren't going to show up, oh, who do you think is going to get the blame for that? We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the payments and the veterans checks and the other payments. And is it true? Will they really be at risk if it isn't raised, or is it part of that, as I said, fear-mongering? And a lot of you are still wanting to talk about it because I looked at the emails today, and the box was once again full, and most of the conversation, or most of what you sent me, was your thoughts on what we could, one, do to solve the crisis, and some of the plans were terrific, or you were telling me that you just want to just completely turn over Washington and just have a redo. Basically, send them all out, get some replacement players, and see if we can figure this out. So more on that coming up as we kick the can down the road here on America Tonight.
The number one secret to having great health and long life is having high levels of glutathione. This master antioxidant is required by your body to stop free radicals, keep cells young, remove chemical and heavy metal toxins, support immunity, support liver functions, stop inflammation, and much more. The results of optimal levels of glutathione in your body are more mental and physical energy, stronger immune system, greater endurance, and more. You know the number one secret superfood that helps increase your glutathione levels by 64% or more? It's unheated whey protein powder from grass-fed cows. This health food is amazing in its ability to do so much for virtually everyone. Introducing One World Whey, an industry-first unheated whey protein powder from grass-fed cows. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit OneWorldWhey.com. That's OneWorldWhey.com.
Hey, Brian, if you could do just one thing today to ensure your family's food security, what would it be?
That's easy, Bill. I'd head straight to SoupBeanSurvival.com.
SoupBeanSurvival.com?
I know, Bill, it sounds crazy, but this ancient secret has been around for over 8,000 years, and it truly is nature's super survival food.
Really, Brian? The number one survival food? Well, certainly the forgotten survival food.
Absolutely, Bill. The folks at SoupBeanSurvival.com scoured our planet to find the very best heirloom seeds, to truly find nature's super survival food.
Brian, these aren't grocery store beans, are they?
No way, Bill. You're not going to find these beans in any grocery store. These are the absolute highest quality beans in the world. Visit SoupBeanSurvival.com. That's SoupBeanSurvival.com for all the information you're going to need for nature's super survival food.
You've been lied to. Lied to by the Wall Street propaganda machine, the government, and the talking heads in the media. The market is in for another crash. Real estate is already in a double-dip recession, and if you want to keep your hard-earned money safe, this message is for you. My name is Brett Kitchen, and after losing 35% of my money when the market crashed, I said enough is enough. I searched and discovered a way to safely grow my money, participate in potential double-digit gains, but also have my money protected when the crashes come. Plus, it could save you thousands in taxes. I want you to get a free copy of my new book, Safe Money Millionaire, where I share this powerful tool that people like Walt Disney and JCPenney used to safely grow their wealth. Call 1-800-675-1640 right now to get your free copy. Again, that's 1-800-675-1640. I'm giving away a limited number of copies today, so call 1-800-675-1640.
Welcome back to America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. We're broadcasting all those nooks and crannies from coast to coast and all the spots in between, as we like to say here on ATN. And, you know, there's something that's going around that I've noticed, and a lot of my friends have noticed this, and you may have someone in your life who unfortunately has this. They think they have every ailment in the book, or they think they can diagnose themselves. So they're constantly on the Internet doing the research. There is actually a thing called cyberchondria. And joining us now to talk about it is Dr. A.J. O'Connell. He's an OBGYN from Forest Park Medical Center. That's in Dallas, Texas. Doc, thanks for spending some time with us. I'm sure you're swamped. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
So this is a real thing, cyberchondria.
Oh, sure. We see it on a daily basis. It's been pretty well documented for at least 15 to almost 20 years now as the Internet grew more fast and people could get access to data quickly.
So the problem with this is, and I get this, you know, people start to look up things, you know, I have a bump on my leg. Is it a mosquito bite? Is it a brown recluse got me in the garage? What is it? It looks like it's spreading and it's swelling. And geez, before I go to the doctor, I'm going to look this up. I got to make sure I need to go to the doctor. And then once I'm there, I'm going to tell my doctor everything that I've looked up on this. Do you find that that's what happens a lot of times, that you have patients that come armed with everything that they found and you have to kind of go through and say, well, no, let's reel this in a little bit. How do you set them straight, I guess?
Well, the good thing is when someone's proactive about looking into something is, you know, we have to remind them that a headache is not usually a tumor and chest pain is not usually a heart attack, but but they need to be mindful that it can be that, especially if it's something that persists. The most important thing they should do is, if they're looking online, look at reputable sites such as WebMD and some of the other ones, and get to their doctor and speak to them before they really run amiss and get themselves really frightened. It's really easy to turn a little thing into a big thing when you're sitting in front of your computer and stewing over it. And also, the news reports the dramatic things. They don't report the little things. So we all know somebody or hear the story every day of the person who had nothing that was really something serious.
Yeah, no kidding. And is this, do you tell, because I would bet that you actually can look this up. You can look up the word cyberchondria. So it has to be affecting a lot of people. In one sense, that's not really good, because then it is an ailment, and they'd have to do something to kind of get themselves to not be so worried, because you would worry about every little thing that happens to you. How do you live your life if you think every headache is almost a brain tumor? What do you advise people?
Well, exactly. I think we have to realize, too, that when people go for their checkup with the doctor, they're getting screening tests as a general rule. And the screening tests aren't usually diagnostic of anything serious. They usually just tell us whether we need to look further. So when a person is really afraid of something and then they get these further testing, we have to remind ourselves that these tests aren't without potential complications. So that if every chest pain were, for example, to get cardiac catheters, or every abdominal pain we're supposed to get a CAT scan with a dye, a lot of people are going to get a reaction to this dye and maybe go into kidney failure. In fact, I did surgery on a woman a few years ago who wanted to just get an ovarian cancer test. And there is no early screening for ovarian cancer, but it was abnormal. And she also had some other issues like infertility. Nobody would touch her until I proved she didn't have cancer, which meant she had to have surgery.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. And she probably thanked you, though, a million times over, because that helped her.
Sure, and she didn't have cancer, and she now has a child. But I think that, you know, things could have gone really wrong. It's not likely, but I think we always have to be careful and not scare ourselves. I think the most important thing is to talk ourselves down and really go see our family doctor. It's less expensive than those big expensive tests. And as we build things up, we'll also – one of the problems we run into and why we think that cyberchondria is a bad thing is we always want to give the right answer to people asking us questions. So if we believe we're having a heart attack, we're going to answer the questions, and in our mind's eye, we think we're giving the right answer that are going to lead the doctor to believe that, well, maybe this is a heart problem. Maybe I do need to do all of this, potentially invasive testing. And that's the biggest reason to just know the possibilities of what things can be and go get it checked out.
Yeah, and isn't it, I mean, you know this, you're the medical guy. I'm just a talk show host. But, you know, a lot of things, you're short of breath. You have certain symptoms that can cross over to all kinds of stuff, right?
Absolutely, and that is one of the problems. We see that a lot. In fact, in obstetrics, a lot of the normal signs that things that happen to women in pregnancy, shortness of breath, fatigue, are also some of the beginning signs that there could be a problem. Mm. And that's where again regular checkups as well as you know, just taking good basic care of ourselves and not really looking into the rarities. You know, rare, as we learn in medical school, common things happen commonly and rare things happen rarely.
Yeah. And when you have, isn't the best thing, because some of us, you know, move around, but isn't the best thing to establish that relationship with the doctor? I mean, you keep saying it. That's the common thread here about the family doctor, because then they know your body. They know if, okay, geez, 3 years ago this happened, and then do you remember this, and then you were great and we're okay, because then you have a roadmap, right?
Oh, no question. And we always have to remind ourselves that we're not going to likely get the zebras, the rare things. And it is important to have, you know, a good primary care physician involved in your life, as well as again, sticking to reputable sources of information, because we have to remember that our First Amendment rights protect us to a great deal of free speech. And when we get outside of licensed personnel, you know, your physician or a place like your health insurer, they have sort of a license-bound duty to give the correct information. Just as, you know, in media, you're responsible and held your feet to the fire for everything you say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for reminding me of that. I appreciate that.
No, it's true. So we have a different level than someone who's just a blogger, for example, and says, well, right. I, you know, in my opinion, you need to take this. And
right.
We see it all the time, and so I think to stick with reputable sources is a great idea. And, you know, stories like this are just a great service to people to remind them to calm themselves down, that they probably do not have that thing that happens to one in a million people. But the good news is if they do, their doctors heard about it too, and they can look for it.
We're speaking with Dr. A.J. O'Connell, OBGYN, Forest Park Medical Center. Doc, when have you seen, because now it's amazing some of the things that have happened in medicine. The advances are incredible. Have you found, especially in your line of work, have you found from the very start when you started, you got out of medical school and you became an OBGYN and you started a practice and that stuff and you moved up, have you found that it's just been amazing, like by leaps and bounds in your particular niche?
Oh, my goodness, sure. When I first started my residency, and we're not talking about eons ago, we're talking the late 1990s, patients were getting surgery that was an open incision, and they stayed in the hospital for 4 or 5 days. They were out of work for 6 weeks. Now, when I do a hysterectomy, it's done through 3 or 4 small incisions. The patient goes home in less than 24 hours, and that's not because she's being kicked out. It's because she's really ready to go home, and she's really resumed most normal activities within a week or two. The same thing with obstetrics. We've really changed full circle on the way that we've learned quite a bit about not forcing people to try to deliver naturally after a C-section. And then we went back to where you shouldn't do it. And now we've sort of come to more common sense terms where we say you can, but we have to be careful with it. Sort of like eating eggs. You know, you're told not to eat eggs, and eggs are good, then they're bad again. So, we see it does tend to move around a bit.
Yeah, I think one of the things that's been interesting, the trend we've seen, and a lot of this is celebrities and a lot of it is fertility treatments and whatnot, but isn't it astonishing the amount of women in their 40s, mid-40s and beyond that are having children? Is that, well, you're the doctor once again, but is that kind of surprising to you?
It is. It's surprising and it's amazing, and it leaves also a number of ethical considerations in that, you know, we have to ask ourselves what's going to happen if we're not going to live long enough to raise our children. But now it's true. We can freeze our eggs. We can freeze our male cells. We can pick gender. We can do pre-implantation genetics to see many of the common ailments that can occur. We can almost to some degree even design our babies.
Wow. Yeah, and you know, that's like a hot potato. I'm sure right now people listening to us, you call this number, not the doctor, 800-259-5791. Some people love it, and some people are like, whoa, you are messing with stuff. You need to stop. Yeah.
It's not part of my practice, that's for sure. But it's also, you know, I take a pretty non-judgmental tone because my wife and I were blessed. It was easier for us to have children. So I can't really sit in other people's, you know, shoes in that regard. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. But still, again, just amazing the leaps and bounds, that, as you just described, that we have now seen with various surgeries and whatnot. But let's just hope that some of the people listening to us aren't going to go down the road too far anyway of cyberchondria. Maybe you'll get less people in the office that believe they can diagnose themselves and have all these symptoms. It's just crazy. It's been a delight to talk to you, Doc. Will you come on again?
I would be delighted to. I love this. In fact, on your television side, a friend of mine from college is one of your television reporters.
Excellent. There you go.
Yeah.
So who's the friend?
Oh, Jay Gormley.
Well, I know Jay.
Yeah.
Next time you see him, tell him I said hello. Dr. A.J.